Happy former holidays, Clips fans. I say former because they're over now. It's your guy, William the Opinion Updike. I'm joined as I am every Monday through Friday by my best friend,
Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. Check us out. I mean, you already are, but tell your friends. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to start with a couple of recaps for you from the Black Friday showdown of the Grizzlies versus the Clippers.
Nice. Good deal on that game, watching it for free.
Yeah, I'd call it a Red and Blue Friday.
Okay.
That's not that good. I should have come up with something better. And then we're also going to get into a recap of last night's action against the Portland Trail Blazers. We've got our Monday segment, which is the Freshies, which we do every Monday, where we talk about rookies, and I've kind of expanded it to talking to just first-year guys.
Yeah,
just that because this team is so new to playing
so
together.
Fresh,
ooh,
if you will.
Oh, that's fresh. And we'll get into a little bit of team talk in that. And then we're going to wrap up with just kind of some general NBA talk, some sort of some toxicity kind of on Twitter.
For sure.
Surrounding some certain issues. So we're going to dive into all of that right about now.
So let's first talk about that Memphis game.
Yeah.
Happened on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I was perfectly honest. I had some in-law business. Could only keep up on Twitter, but I was thrilled.
Oh, yeah. I was watching it at a bar.
Okay. So, fun guy.
Yeah. Which I don't get to do that often. But
do you enjoy watching games in bars?
Mixed.
Fair. I don't really like it.
I think it can be fun if people are kind of like in the mood and stuff.
For sure. If it's like a party thing, I'm into it.
I dislike not being able to hear the commentary.
Oh, that's a
good also dislike that about going to live games. I would honestly go to the game and keep a stream on through headphones to watch it, like the world's coolest guy.
Oh, yeah.
But I liked what I saw. I actually, I was in transit from one bar to another when during the...
what a Friday you had.
You know, it's post-Thanksgiving. You got to reset. But yeah, I was actually in transit, so I saw that we were down by 3, and I saw the box score go down to 0, and I was like, ah, well, crap, that's over.
Yeah.
Got to the next place, it was on an OT, had a great time.
Clippers pulled it out 112-107 against the, at the time, Western-leading Memphis Grizzlies. Going to do just a quick thing, because it was on Friday. Mike Conley fouling out. I mean, great strategy. Probably not the strategy, but like their offense died.
I don't want to say that it was the strategy, but I also don't want to say that it wasn't, because we've now in the two games had some key foul outs from important players, and I do think that that is part of that kind of chippy identity, you know. But it's like you got to lure them into making the fouls, you know. Versus, I felt like earlier in the season we were really committing a lot of fouls.
Yeah, for sure. In chippy, weird ways. After Conley went out, according to Gene Zelasco, fantastic follow if you want some Clippers news, the Clippers outscored the Grizzlies 27-14 after he was gone.
That's great.
If Gasol and Conley are out, that team cannot function.
I mean, we saw that last season. Yeah. You know, really, even if one of them is out, they're not functioning.
Yeah.
A tip-top performance, which is really hard because I think that they have some solid players and stuff, but they're still pretty top-heavy.
Yeah, there was a good article in The Ringer that came out like 20 minutes ago, actually, from us recording this, about how the Clippers are the deepest team. And so when one guy gets hurt, it's a lot easier for us to just kind of bounce back because you slot someone right in.
I think even aside from somebody being hurt, if somebody doesn't have it that night, or, you know, like shots aren't really falling, there's a lot of other people that can step up and you know, kind of make those plays or get those buckets.
Mm-hmm. In this game, Trez played a career high 34 minutes and 30 seconds. He put up 23-11 while going 8-for-10 from the line, which is fantastic.
Solid shooting. I think he's pretty close. He's in the mid 70s, so I'm hoping that he can be, or I think he might be at 71% right now, free throw shooting.
Yeah.
And that's even after last
night. Almost cost us last night.
Terrible blunders. But I'm impressed with how every single year he's improved his free throw shooting, like marginally, or, you know, around 10%. But this year it took a massive jump.
Yeah. Which might have to do with his usage, but that's also nice that he's equipped for that, to be like, well, they're going to be using me more. Gallo get up and got down with the clutchness.
Oh, is that a Disturbed reference?
Absolutely. Wrote that this morning, a little early.
Canceled.
So he got fouled on a 3 with no time left on the clock. insane blunder by Memphis.
So stupid.
Like, how are you not just like, hey, man, just let him, not let him take it, but like, whatever you do. He wasn't even necessarily looking for contact on this three.
Yeah.
This wasn't like a Lou or a Gallo style pump fake jump into the guy. He just straight up got fouled on the three.
Yeah.
Ice in his veins.
Yeah, it was great. He also had the great quote that he has a good relationship with the basket and just wants to continue that relationship.
I mean, he probably listens to Love, Marry, Kill, dude.
Yeah.
He's probably with it. And this was a game that I think, we'll talk about this more when we talk about the Blazers recap in whatever, 45 seconds, where Avery Bradley's defense has really hit a stride.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it was unquestionable that he was going to come around.
At least defensively.
And, you know, he shot pretty well in this game. He went, I think he went 5 for 8 for like around 62%, which, you know, is nothing to snuff your nose at. Like 13 points.
We'll take that.
Yeah, that's like a great addition.
That's such a solid contribution to what we need from that backcourt. Which is because Doc doesn't seem to be playing Bev and Brad together, which is nice.
Which is great. And it seems like, so I'm guessing that this starting rotation is going to stick around with the backcourt of Shea and Bradley.
Yeah.
Which I think is a better fit than Shea and Beverly. Do you think that Shea at any point, like injuries or whatever aside, leaves the starting lineup at this point?
I think maybe. Possibly. I know that's kind of a lame answer, but I think if we go against backcourts that are like, I think maybe against the Warriors, I wouldn't be mad at it.
Interesting.
Just because we're going to need so much defense to stop that. Any team with a fantastic 1-2, I'm not against it, but we still need that scoring.
Yeah, we definitely still need that scoring. I mean, he's been good for double digits lately.
Yeah.
Scoring. And I think against a backcourt that's as good as that of the Trailblazers, when you have him starting, it's pretty indicative of what, you know, what he's capable of.
Yeah, for sure. I don't want him to, like, definitely.
You don't want him to leave the starting line.
No, not at all. I think it's good for his experience. There is some weird patterns where the last two games, Avery Bradley's been the most played guard.
Yeah.
Minutes-wise.
Yes.
Which is kind of, I mean, he held Lillard to some pretty terrible shooting splits in the game against the Blazers. But the lack of offense is just a little troubling for him to be getting 31 minutes a game at the guard spot.
I don't know.
I feel like it's troubling. I want more offense from my guards.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I do think that when he's in his stride, it definitely is just almost a perfect pairing.
Because
he can space the floor a little bit, and yeah, he is so solid defensively. I also think he's a good... he's a good guy to be alongside Shea.
Just from learning?
From a learning perspective. You know, he's not like demanding the ball or anything.
Yeah, he's not selfish.
Yeah, and he's good, you know, he's very good off ball and can kind of spot up when it's hitting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess that's about all I have for this Grizzlies game.
Yeah.
Do you have any other notes?
He saved the game with a last second steal that ended any hopes for a Grizzlies attempt to tie the game. Very ballsy move to go for that steal.
It was
incredible. I mean, luck played a little bit into it, but I was like, that is a steal that 99% of the league, I'd say maybe only him and Patrick Beverley would go for that steal.
Yeah.
Like, it was a borderline shot attempt, so it would have been just exactly what happened to the Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked out.
Yeah.
So I can't be mad at it.
Launching into the Blazers, burning into the Blazers. Big 104-100 win.
No overtime. What a day.
Yeah, wow.
Should we hit him with some stats first?
Sure, yeah.
So, biggest story of the night, Tobias with a season-high 34 points. Tied for a career high, added 11 rebounds, was just named the Western Conference Player of the Week.
Yeah,
today.
It was incredible. Led the team in points, led the team in rebounds.
Pretty steep drop-off next. Gallo was next with 17 points. Trez had 14 and 10 with 5 offensive boards, which I think made the difference in the game.
Definitely.
Other than Tobias, that's the reason we won. Not a good game in the first half.
No. I think that we were tentative. Definitely, like, weren't playing really that physically.
There were so many times. Gallo, I think it was like a couple possessions in a row, he'd get the ball and he had space to take a shot, and he did one of those shot fakes where it was like, it didn't seem like a shot. Like, he wanted to shoot, and then right at the last second, he was like, oh, I shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't look like he was himself, maybe.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I think this might have actually been our worst bench performance of the year. Their bench outscored us 44-31.
Oh, man. I mean, our bench average is, what, 60 points usually?
Yeah, yeah. So this was definitely the worst bench performance thus far. Lou's worst game. I think he finished with 4 points on like 2 of 13 shooting.
Yeah.
So it's like we said earlier, it's nice that the team is so deep that we can persevere through these kind of struggles, even when guys that we really normally depend on, I don't want to say don't have it, because that seems mean, but yeah, like, but it's not happening. Yeah, it wasn't there that night.
This was a performance from Tobias that hopefully we see more of, that I think puts him in that max contract category. No one else was playing well.
Yeah, he kind of grabbed. He was able to step it up, and this was different than that Washington game where he still had good stats, but I felt like
it was always the beginning.
Yeah, he was a non-factor in the fourth quarter. Played great all the way through, really stepped it up. I guess the only thing I would have liked to see more of was just more downhill play and even like just more aggressive work from him. We were in it was in the fourth. We were already in the bonus with like 4 minutes left. Their third string center was in at
that
point.
Dude, that's our curse. We get in the bonus with like more than 3 minutes left, and then we're like, all right, time to not be physical.
Yeah, and then we just like weren't really playing downhill. The ball was moving some, which is still good to see, but like when you're in the bonus, man, I want to see, especially guys as big as Tobias,
just pick and roll.
Yeah, against squads like the Blazers, like I want to see him full head of steam just rip into the basket.
And in the beginning he was doing that, which is what kept us in the game.
Yeah.
And it's funny to say kept us in the game, because at half we were down 58-45.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like without Tobias crushing on that pick and roll, which he's been doing more of, we would have been sunk. The Blazers could have pulled away in this game a couple of times and
definitely
just couldn't for whatever
definitely
reason.
I do think some of this, like, a little bit of this does boil down to they didn't have a great shooting night.
Yeah. We also shot 32%, I think, in the first quarter. Like, it was awful.
Yeah, both teams shot for right around 20% from three.
Yikes.
So not great.
Yeah.
And then we had a lot of free throw. I mean, we had a lot of free throw troubles.
Yeah. Back to Avery Bradley. He had 3 steals. He held Lillard to 2 of 10 shooting when he was guarding him, which I think is maybe what Doc sees to give him the most minutes for any guard.
Yeah.
Holding Lillard to those numbers is pretty astonishing.
It just makes sense because he's, you know, he's a two-way guy. Needs double the minutes.
I mean, what? Damn. That's going in William, the Updike book of basketball right there. Do you think spicy spaghetti for this?
I do. Yeah. He after the half, he gave a little pep talk to Tobias.
For those of you who are new, spicy spaghetti is what we call Corey Maggette, just because it rhymes.
Great former Clipper. Great fantastic commentator. He's been seeing him more and more announcing.
He's been crushing
in the post game. But yeah, he gave Tobias, like, he just said that he needed to play with some more aggression, really get to the basket. And you know, I'm sure you hit him with the classic, you got to move the ball from side to side.
That's never not true.
It's always right. But yeah, I think the real key to victory is honestly the low turnover rate.
Four turnovers,
which, you know, is our best. I think that it's a tie for franchise
ever?
History.
Yeah.
And it's been our best all season. And I just think that we're capable of more games like this.
Under,
you know?
So if you're looking at turnovers, you want under 10 a game.
Yeah.
You think we're definitely capable of that.
100%.
For sure. And I put a note in here. We lost the rebounding battle 58-48.
Yes.
And I think this is going to sound weird. The turnovers can equate to our rebounding deficiencies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If we're +4 in turnovers, that helps it a little bit when we're -10
in
the
rebounds. Totally.
Which is, defensive rebounding is the worst part of our team.
We also had 9 steals to their 2.
9 times.
This
team has a lot of active hands.
Yeah.
Like, the lankiness of these guys really gets, like, it's like when we played the Warriors.
Yeah.
They just couldn't get things done.
One thing that surprised me a little bit, we saw a little bit more of Myers Leonard and Evan Turner.
Myers Leonard.
And they, their length kind of gave our, definitely gave our bench a hard time.
Yeah.
Which was really surprising. Evan Turner was actually a difference maker, I feel like, off that bench. Mm-hmm. They're, like, we, I think we undoubtedly have the best bench in the league. They do have a deeper bench than I ever give them credit for.
I do too. And I think that's maybe because I don't watch a lot of Blazers games. I always hear people talk about Zach Collins and how great he is.
People love Zach Collins.
It's so weird, dude.
He was great, though.
Yeah, he played really good.
he scored well. He blocked the ball. There was at least one sequence where he got the block and then the end-to-end dunk.
Do you think this is a matchup we'll see possibly 4 and 5 seeds in the playoffs?
Possibly.
Seems like we could see him. Like in the first round, if we're the fifth seed.
Yeah. I like that matchup.
I do
like
too.
This matchup. I think we can both agree that this was probably one of our best wins, if not the best win of
Absolutely.
The season.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're a great team, but I do really like this matchup for us. I think that we have the better scoring forwards. Our backcourt, like defensively and lengthwise, I think pairs really well against them, especially in a 7-game series.
Yeah.
Their biggest advantage, I feel like, I mean, other than the high volume scoring, which, you know, you hope to neutralize as well as you can, would definitely be Nurk and Collins at the center position.
Yeah. They're deeper than we are by a lot.
Yeah. At the five, they have some more weapons, like kind of all around weapons than we do, and just traditional length at the position.
Well, I mean, it's been a slugfest each time we've played them. It's going to be terrifying if we see them in the playoffs. That's our quick recap coming up after this. We're going to be talking about some freshies, some things we want to see from some new guys. But first, if you're new and you follow multiple Locked On podcasts, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It kind of aggregates all of the news and stories and whatnot. It's fantastic for live games. You get some quick updates and some nice little snippets on the Instagram story. Check that out, Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. So now we're getting into some freshies. Clips talk.
Clips.
Real quick, if you want to talk some Clippers with your boys in person,
hey,
in a week, we're going to be at Tom's Urban hosting a fun watch party for the Clippers-Pelicans game.
As opposed to a shitty watch party.
Yeah, sometimes watch parties, people get yelled at for putting their feet up and stuff like that. You can put your feet up anywhere at Tom's Urban. There's going to be half off anything that pours, 2 to 5 p.m., tons of local brews. I think they have like 48 beers or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and it's literally half off anything that pours.
Yeah.
You want 1,800? Half off.
I'm going to drink all 48 beers. All right, so I had a couple quick freshies I wanted to talk about. Angel Delgado has been crushing for the Agua Caliente Clippers.
Your man.
He had 14 and 22 the other day. He had, I think, 10 and 15 the other day. With our detriments at rebounding,
yeah,
Gortat goes down. I assume Motley will probably get the call before Delgado.
Yeah.
Because I think he's been playing a little bit better. But why not give these guys a shot?
I don't know. That rebounding stat line for Delgado, 22 boards is...
I don't care who you're going against. That's a lot of boards, dude.
Yeah, those are... I mean, that's like Giannis numbers. That's insane.
He just has a great nose for him.
I'm just really surprised we haven't seen either of these guys.
Especially Motley. They seem a little higher on Motley.
Yeah, I don't know if that's something that we're just really getting those rotations kind of solidified, which would make sense. You know, we still have had some injuries, and Doc is still tinkering.
Which is awesome. Know,
which is really great to see. I think that our starting lineup at this point is pretty shored up.
We're 13-6, so it's like, well.
Yeah, I think you know, bearing some sort of like injury to Gortat or something, he probably stays in that lineup.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would like to see some of these guys get a chance. I would really like to know just kind of where we're at the center position.
Yeah.
Long term.
For sure.
You know, like outside of the season, I don't know if that's going to be one of our targets in free agency.
There's only really like two guys I would really want.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Unless we can get like a Milos trade for a good center, but I don't see that happening.
No, I don't really see that being able to get put together. More Jerome?
Jerome would be nice. Justin Russo had a fantastic tweet. Counting NBA and G League minutes, he's shooting 48.9% from 345 attempts.
It's incredible.
Which is pretty tight. And this kind of goes into your freshie.
Mm-hmm.
Who you want to see more of?
Mike Scott.
Dude, he's been playing great.
I want to see more of Mike Scott. I think that he has more of a multifaceted game than I even kind of originally thought.
Yeah, I mean, I had only seen him play like 2 minutes before this.
Yeah, he went scoreless in the game against Portland. He was 0-for-3, but he had a great pocket pass to Montrezl Harrell for a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
He
him and Trez have a really good connection.
Yeah, he has some playmaking. He runs the ball a little bit. Like, he definitely has a little bit of a handle and can kind of dribble. He's like just a great utility player.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of perfect, I feel like, for this team. Like,
yeah.
Where he's maybe not, I mean, I guess I would say his 3-point shooting is still elite. But other than that, he's like just a solid all arounder.
It's at that above average level where you're like, all right, I'm not mad at that. Like, take yeah. that shot, make that pass.
Yeah.
I see what you're going for.
His defense is sound. I mean, because of his size, you know, he's not necessarily the longest
yeah.
out there, but you know, he is very strong.
Yeah, he's huge,
he's a tank. And I do think that he draws a lot of attention from defenses just because, I mean, I think he has the reputation of like, if he's spotting up, if he's getting the ball.
You have to go over there.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to spread the defense out, which is super tight. Do you think he should have more tattoos or less tattoos?
I would say even more.
Yeah, why not? Throw them on there, dude.
Dude.
If we make the playoffs, get a Clippers playoffs tattoo.
Pile them on.
Another note about Milos. There was that, you know, he's leaving probably.
Yeah.
We're probably going to trade him.
Yeah.
Which isn't that big of a surprise.
No.
He had that quote in the offseason about, you know, he couldn't, I'm paraphrasing, but it was basically like, you know, we couldn't find the deal I wanted in Europe.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to coming back to the Clippers. And it was a guy who sounded like, you know, he was hurt a lot last year.
We were both kind of bumped, I feel like, by this quote.
Yeah, because we love Milos.
Yeah, we definitely do. But I totally understand. He's, you know, he's in the very twilight of his career, I would say.
He's over 30. He's in your hate zone, I would say.
Yeah. Too old. Yeah. But I definitely understand him wanting to go to a place where he sees more playing time.
Yeah.
And I think why not? You know, if nothing else, we free up a roster spot.
And it seems like an amicable split.
Yeah.
Like, we have the guard play has been really good. There's a logjam at it. Go get some time, you know,
yeah.
Go back to Europe. I mean that in a nice way, not like a go back to Europe.
I mean, I think he could just play for a different NBA team.
Yeah. Maybe I floated this idea on Twitter that no one liked. Milos for Fultz.
Oh, all right. Get another young guy in there.
Yeah, why not? Who's really hurt mentally and physically.
Yeah.
Kind of a sad story. Going
can't
on
shoot.
There. Actually, can't shoot. But it's perfect for our team.
But
yeah, that I'm bummed to see him go. He had he had some of the best passes.
We're talking like he's already gone.
He kind of is.
Clippers Facebook very disagrees with
Dude,
this.
Dude, Clippers Facebook, there's people calling for Doc to be fired. We're 13-6.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I don't get it. It's like,
what more do you want?
I mean, 19-0?
Yeah.
Like, the only games we really should have absolutely won that you could maybe blame on coaching is the first game against the Nuggets.
Yeah, we were very much still experimenting with the lineups.
Which was the first game of the season with a brand new squad.
Yeah.
And then, like,
against a team that was red hot at the time.
Yeah. And then, like,
I mean, for playing one game.
Then, like, the Wizards game.
Yeah.
And the Thunder game, but it's still, like, a lot. That's not all on. There was no moves where it was like, this is directly Doc's fault.
Yeah.
Doc's been maybe coach of the year right now.
Yeah, he's been really good. He's been really good.
You got any other freshies you want to talk about? Should we get into this kind of solemn third segment we got?
I mean, I guess just more. It still would be, you know, I'm going to sound like a broken record. It still would be great to see more Sin and more Ty Wall.
Yeah. Who seems okay after that collision with Beal a couple games ago, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess he was ready to play that night. He like wanted to play.
I feel like all professional athletes are like, I'm fine. I want to play. And it's like, dude, you're bleeding from both your ears.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I guess other than those, they were both DNPs last game. I don't know. You know, it's just, we have all these guards. We got to develop them.
Use them.
You know?
Yeah.
And I do understand, though, that, you know, it has been difficult. We just got through like a pretty difficult game stretch. So.
Yeah. All right. Coming up after this advertisement, we have some brief, pretty much just Dwight Howard talk.
Yeah. All right. So if you haven't heard, There was like a Twitter, there's like some Twitter news
expose,
kind of,
I guess.
Going back and forth that Dwight Howard might have had a sexual relationship with a man named Mason Elige.
Let's say Mason Elige. Let's call it Mason.
Mason. And there's like some alleged orgies. Very chill.
And like his pastor threatening him.
Yeah.
And deflecting.
Yeah, very...
threatening Mason's life.
Very bizarre. And there was apparently similar claims made by this same individual about rapper Playboi Carti. And there were fake DMs and audio messages.
Yeah. It's a very weird situation.
It's hard to establish, you know, with 100% like assuredness the validity, I guess, of these claims. I guess more what I want to talk about is the backlash 100% that followed.
It was disgusting.
It really was. So there were a lot of lame jokes about Dwight dropping breadcrumbs about being gay
and being bad.
Yeah.
And all, it's just like, and people are putting not only Dwight and Mason, who is for sure a homosexual who has to deal with abuse and threats constantly, on blast on Twitter from people who, A, should not care.
Yeah.
You should, nothing matters less than your not even favorite athlete's sexual preference.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like,
No. And I guess it was, it's just really bizarre because I like to, in a vacuum, think of the NBA as this hyper-progressive league, and I guess I forget that the fans still aren't there yet.
Yeah. And the NBA hasn't done a whole lot for gay and trans rights.
That is very true.
There's a couple of Bucks players, I believe, went to a pride parade in Milwaukee, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But there's still such an opportunity. We talk about this a lot. The NBA can be the most progressive league in the history of sports leagues in the world.
Yeah.
On issues like this, and they have a great opportunity right now, and hopefully they take advantage of it.
Definitely.
That's what makes the NBA great, is players being able to speak their mind and stuff like that. And yeah, the Twitter responses were, this was when Twitter is a net negative.
Yeah.
For the earth.
I agree. It was really disappointing, and like whether these allegations are true or not, I mean, it should bear no merit on people's opinion of Dwight Howard. I mean, like, you know, I'm not a fan of Dwight Howard.
No, I'm not either, but it's like,
but yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, definitely.
There's still some weird stuff. Yeah, like you said, it might be fake. I just hope. It sucks because it had to happen to a player like Dwight Howard, who has all this weird hate
for him already. Yeah, definitely.
And even if it's proven, not that it matters if it's untrue or not, he still is dealing with, I don't even think he's released a statement on it.
Yeah.
Because this happened over Thanksgiving weekend, too.
Yeah.
When he's trying to hang out with his family and just live his life. But yeah, let's hope NBA Twitter can be a little better. Twitter in general, not just NBA Twitter.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people coming to his defense, but it's just like, just not, didn't feel good.
No.
Didn't paint the NBA fandom in the best light, I would say.
No. And I don't know, you just work, you have a client, I don't, is clientele the right word? You have like the pillars and all the stars of the league are of a demographic wherein I would say the communities generally surrounding them are pretty homophobic and or transphobic.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's like your civil duty to necessarily advocate. I do think it is your civil duty to not like pass like
judgment.
Vitriol or
yeah, no hate.
I mean, you can even have your own quiet judgments, like whatever.
Yeah.
But like it's not like, it's just not a place where you should be spewing any sort of hatred. And I don't know what the NBA would specifically step in and do in something like this. I do think that it would be a big move to come out and say, you know, like we will not tolerate any sort of homophobic slander from players. If it's like on the court, if it's whatever.
We're not having it.
Yeah, we're not having it. So I do think that would be something. Other than that, I don't really know. I don't know, other than bringing to light these sort of issues or sexual preferences of players, and kind of like hopefully that serves somewhat to normalize it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, which hasn't been the response thus far,
yeah.
I don't really see a whole lot of good that could possibly come out of this.
Yeah, let's hope it somehow gets better for Dwight, for Mason, for everyone involved. That'll do it for Locked On Clips today. Guys, tomorrow we got a game preview for the Suns game.
Yeah.
It's going to be on Wednesday. Not a whole lot to talk about tomorrow because there's no basketball for our guys.
Yeah.
Tune in. We are here Monday through Friday. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.